lack of a better title, I just called it the functional family, because there's so many things that happen when we get into living our life as a part of what God has called us to live, or how He called us to live, and this whole family that He wants us to be a part of and to live in. Let's see where we're going. Let's start with some prayer. That ought to help. God, we are praising You in the name of Jesus. Father, we're grateful to be here. Father, we're grateful to be in Your presence. We're grateful to, Father, we brought You in with us. You're always with us. Your presence is with us. But Lord, I pray and thank You for the ability to sense and understand and to know and to feel and recognize Your presence in our life, that we see You at work, that we understand when You're doing things or not doing things and kind of the reasoning behind them. And Father, I pray this morning as we press into the family concept of understanding our place in the family, that You will reveal unto each one of us something unique, something that we didn't know or something that we need to know to be able to grow in our faith, to be able to stay strong in Christ, to grow up in this fellowship that You have built and have designed called the family, Father, and the family of God. And I pray that we understand it and grow in it, and that we leave here walking in a little more confidence in You and Your what You have done and Your place and Your role, even in our and knowing ours as well. Father, we're praising You for these things. It's in Jesus' name that we say, amen. Amen. So this morning we're going to talk about family dynamics. Okay, and by that I would say kind of the structure. You know, how is a family made up? I think understanding the family dynamics is very beneficial to every Christian, because it helps you to understand the roles that you carry out within the family. Because there are certain ones that we do, and there's certain ones that somebody else may do, or we'll see in the family God, there's certain things that God may do that we might be trying to take that role from Him. Okay, so this understanding, you're going to see and hopefully believe this, that it leads to a much better quality of life. Okay, when we understand our roles and kind of where we fit into all this, it helps with our overall quality of life over the long term. Okay, now there's a magazine some of you probably heard of called Psychology Today. Okay, and it's something that occasionally I still get stuff from my secular degree days and get things on psychology and those kind of things. And in the Psychology magazine, Psychology Today magazine, it said this about the importance of good family dynamics. This is kind of like how your brain works and why it's good kind of stuff. So it said this. It said, close family relationships afford a person better health and well-being, as well as lower rates of depression and disease throughout a lifetime. Okay, and they quote the stats. They base this on studies and things that have been done, that close family relationships afford a person a better quality of life, okay, a better sense of well-being, better health, lower depression, and less disease throughout an entire life. Okay, to me, I read that and I said, wow. You mean that a good family relationship leads to a better and healthier life? And I thought, absolutely. That's why, one of the reasons why, God created the family order. Okay, remember in the beginning, Adam and Eve, that whole thing? Be fruitful and multiply, okay, start your family. Okay, so Psychology Today, that magazine, goes on and said this about, let me skip this. That same psychology article, okay, goes on to say this. It says, in a functional family, okay, there's the title for this morning, a functional family. In a functional family, parents strive to create an environment in which everyone feels safe and respected. A positive home requires parents to set and uphold rules, but not resort to overly rigid regulation of any one person's behavior. Okay, that means if it applies to one, it should apply to all. In a healthy household, slights and misbehaviors are readily addressed, and boundaries are clear and consistent all of which help avoid disharmony in the longer term. Okay, therefore, if you have more harmony, you have less of the other things, the depression and health problems. It says, in a functional family, parents strive to create an environment in which everyone feels safe and respected. Now that sounds a lot like what I would call a safe and secure environment. Okay, it is a safe and secure environment. It is a place where you can be yourself within an established set of boundaries that determine what is good and acceptable and positive and beneficial for everybody involved, both within the family and outside of the family. Okay, we are in that kind of an environment. Correction and guidance would be readily available. Okay, if somebody consciously or even kind of subconsciously or unconsciously strays from what is appropriate, maybe they don't see their behavior as bad. We work with kids a lot, and kids are along that line. Sometimes they just don't know any better. Okay, there's a literal thing that happens. In that environment, it's going to be one in which all the people live in harmony by considering and respecting each other, taking care not to be self-consumed, but rather always being relational. Okay, I've said many, many times, life is about God and people. Okay, so there's a relational thing. Okay, people are taking care not to be self-consumed, but are rather always being relational, bearing in mind the positive effect of these beneficial relationships and the intended reason that they were formed to begin with. Okay, you guys following me a little bit? The general definition of the word functional, when you talk about a functional family, is simply capable of serving the purpose for which it was designed. If something is functional, if you have a bicycle and it's missing the handlebars, it is not functional. You have a bicycle that has two wheels and two pedals and handlebars and a chain and brakes and all this stuff. Now it is functional. It can be used to travel somebody down the street or to move them from one place to another. That is functional, capable of serving the purpose for which it was designed. Okay, now think about a family. A functional family, then, is one that is, number one, capable of procreation. Okay, I'm going to pause on that just for a minute. A functional family would be one that is capable of procreation, okay, multiplying, adept to unity, has set guidance for what is acceptable behavior and what is not, has adequate instruction for improving, modifying, or rectifying negative behaviors, okay, something kind of in place for that, all while maintaining a safe and secure environment where rejection and defamation, okay, think belittling, cutting down, okay, an environment, a safe and secure environment where rejection and defamation are not part of the picture, because the goal is to be bonded together in such a way that it is most beneficial for everyone involved, both inside and outside of that family. Okay, now some of you, as you're thinking about your family on earth, okay, and you might be thinking about how dysfunctional, how messed up, how imperfect your family is, okay, but I want to put things in a little different perspective. Turn your spiritual ears on and see if you can get this. The family that I'm talking about is not your physical earthly family, but it's the family of God. Okay, now we got to start seeing our role in the family of God. I'm going to reread this definition. This is one I wrote, a definition of the functional family and what it would be like. But apply it to your family of God, your church family, the body of Christ, the family of God. Put all that into perspective. A functional family is one that is capable of procreation. Okay, in other words, multiplication. Capable of that. They're adept to unity. They have set guidance for what is acceptable behavior and what is not. We have adequate instruction for improving, modifying, or rectifying negative behaviors. Okay, that is both this, which I hold in my hands, could also be this, which is coming out of my mouth. It may be the fellowship or the iron sharpening iron and some of those things that take place. We have ways of rectifying negative behaviors or things that are need modifying, improving. All of this while maintaining a safe and secure environment where rejection and defamation are not part of the picture. Okay, we're not going to reject people because of whatever they need modified, right? We're not going to defame people or put them down or belittle or criticize them. We're going to help them in their endeavor. Okay, those are not part of the picture because the goal is to be bonded together in such a way that it is most beneficial for everyone involved, both in the family and outside the family. Okay, now if we apply that to the church as a whole, you'll begin to get an idea of our role that we play. Okay, Jesus talked repeatedly about your Father which is in heaven. Okay, anybody relate to that just a little bit? There's some scriptures along that line. The new covenant that we read consistently refers to those who are your, quote, brothers and sisters in Christ. Okay, we esteem one another better than ourselves, and some of these things that we do are related to the brothers and sisters in Christ. Jesus himself, declaring him to be the Son of God, clearly views himself as your kinsman. He is a son of the Father. Just as he is the Son of God, we also are sons and daughters of our Father, which art in heaven. Anybody remember they call it the Lord's Prayer? How does it start out? Our Father, which art in heaven. Okay, Jesus even called God Father. The biblical references to the family. Okay, if you look up, and I used the King James when I did it, but words like father and mother, brother and sister, if you just look how many times those words are in a Bible, it's astounding. Okay, over 2,000 times the Bible refers to a mother or a father. Over 2,000 times it refers to a mother or a father. More than twice that much, over 4,000 times, does the Bible refer to a son or a daughter. Okay, now, not only does that reveal something about God and that family dynamics are extremely important to him, several thousand times, if you add up mother, father, brother, sister, over 6,000 times, it's in the Bible. Okay, is because family dynamics are important to God. It's something that he used as illustrations over and over again. Remember, the father had the two prodigal sons and the son that was raised from the dead. It's all these things over and over again. There's illustrations and pictures that God paints for us. Okay, but it reveals that God is, family dynamics are important to God, but it also begins to send a profound message to us when we are the ones that are being referred to as the sons or the daughters of God. Okay, now sons and daughters receive an inheritance. You understand that? Mothers and fathers are in there a lot, but it's the sons and daughters that are talked about the most because they are the ones receiving the inheritance of the Father. Okay, in Galatians chapter 3, verse 26, it says, "For you are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus." Are we in the family of God? Yes, we're in the family of God, thanks to our faith in Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 8, verse 15 says, "For we have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father, Daddy, Father." The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if we're children, then we're heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. Now, a huge part of your identity as a Christian is understanding that you are part of the family of God. It is bigger than just you and God. You're part of a family of God. You are an heir of God. Okay? You are an heir of God and a joint heir with Jesus Christ. Think about that. A joint heir with the Son of God. Okay? No longer is he just this Lord that's in outer space. Now he becomes my brother in whom I am sharing an equal amount of the inheritance that he gets, I get. Okay? It's almost overwhelming for your mind to comprehend that. Jesus made this point, though, about us being a joint heir with him when he spoke and the things that he said and did, because he so often said things about our Father, okay? Referring to him as, he's not just your Father, he's not just my Father, but he's our Father. We're in this together, okay? He wanted you to know that the blessings that the Father bestowed upon him were yours as well. Okay, your faith in him ends up being a whole lot more than just a ticket to heaven. Okay, when you received Jesus, you received a living will from God that says that all the blessing and all the favor that was imparted to Jesus is imparted to you as a child of God as well. Okay, that's part of what came with that package. Jesus tried to get this point across to us when he taught us about praying. He taught us about asking our Father God for things. And he reminds us that fathers know how to give good gifts unto their children. He's making a point through what he's saying. If you as an earthly father would not give a rock to a child that asks for a piece of bread, how much more will your heavenly Father give good things unto them that ask him? Okay, how much more will your heavenly Father give you exactly what you asked? In Luke chapter 11, verse 9, Jesus says that again, I say to you, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asks receives. And he that seeks finds. And to him that knocks it shall be opened. For if a son asks bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he for a fish instead give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If you then, being evil, imperfect, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? You know, another time Jesus was reassuring us about the way that our Father enjoys providing for our needs. You ever think of that? Sometimes we think we bother God. God doesn't want to hear from me. I'm taking this to him again. Whatever. You're not bothering God when he enjoys blessing you, enjoys meeting your needs. Jesus explains that we don't have to fret about where we're going to get our next meal. We don't have to stress out about what we're going to wear. Okay, those kind of basic needs, because your Father in heaven is well aware of your basic needs, and he will provide them for you almost without asking. It just goes as something that he does. In Luke 12:29, he said, and seek not what you shall eat or what you shall drink, neither be of a doubtful mind. That includes a lot of things, right? For all these things do the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knoweth that you have need of these things. But rather seek the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. And verse 32 says, fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Okay, that verse, that last 32, anybody that knows me knows that is one of my favorite verses in the entire Bible. Because that is a powerful reminder to me every time I see or hear or think of that scripture, about my Father God's intentions for me. It is his good pleasure to give me the kingdom. He is not holding it back. He is not mad at me. He is not wanting to make my life miserable and make me suffer through to learn some lesson. Okay, he thoroughly enjoys giving me everything that being a part of his family entails. Okay, you do not have to live in fear of lack. Okay, you do not have to live with a fear of death or stress out about some of the smaller stuff either. God loves to give you everything he has available. He loves to give that. Everyone in this room has an earthly father of some sort. Now, we probably would all agree that not all of them were as perfect as our Father in heaven. Okay? Some were better than others, and some understood more about their role than others. But I guarantee you that each and every one of those fathers knows deep down in their heart what the basic needs of their children are. They know that. I think it's instilled in us by God to know what basic needs are for those that we are entrusted to care for. Okay, the father's role in the family dynamics is very well established. He is referred to as our Father God because he is the main provider. Okay, the one that ensures that we have what we need. That's the father's role. Okay, he is our protector. Okay, the one that protects us from harm. And I thought I had a story I got to tell on that, because last night, whatever time it was, 11 o'clock at night, we're laying in bed, and all of a sudden we hear this barking right outside our window, and it's a coyote. Okay, coyotes come up. We live on a ranch, and they'll come up. And so he came out, he's barking. I mean, literally had to have been right outside the window. I thought at first it was our dog, right? And so I just kind of laid there thinking, what in the world is she barking at? And then Margie sits up, and she looks out the window. She said, "It's a coyote. Right up here in the yard. I wonder where the cats are," you know, and all this stuff. So Margie gets up, and Margie is the coyote chaser awayer in our family. Okay, I shoot coyotes. Margie chases them away. Okay, and so she gets up, and I just laid there, and I thought, well, it's a coyote. I mean, it's not gonna attack Margie or anything fearful like that. And so I just kind of laid there and let it play out. And of course, she goes out on the front porch, turns the light on, yells at the coyote, which is her thing to do. She's chasing away with brooms and whatever else, yelling at him. Okay, so she yells at the coyote, which gets our dog up and out. So now our dog is out there and barking at him. And sure enough, you don't hear the coyote anymore. The coyote is long gone. Okay, now that is a coyote in the vicinity. If it had been something like I heard a man's voice in the other room, or I heard a door being kicked in, or I heard something that was of that nature, I would have been telling Margie to get on the other side of the bed. I've got this one. Me and Smith and Weston are going hunting. Okay, we're going looking to see what's going on. And so it would have been a completely different story if it was a life-threatening kind of thing. That is a role of not just a husband, but also a father. My boys are down the hallway, so I can get in between whatever is in the house and them pretty easily. Okay, that is my role as a protector for the family. Okay, now, as an earthly father, my boys, they're of an age 13 and almost 16, where they like to eat, and like to eat a lot sometimes. And it is not on their shoulders to come to me to beg for food. They don't have to beg for their next meal. I know that they need food. I recommend eating more. You know, we're cooking burgers, and whew, you know, a pound of hamburger used to be enough. Now it's, you better get the second pound out, Margie, because we need to have two unthawed for if we're having burgers or whatever, because they're going to eat more. That's just a natural thing. And I know that, having gone through some of the same stuff these boys are going through. So I know that I am in part the one that makes sure that they have something to eat, okay, that they have enough or more than enough food. Okay, they are of an age where they are growing like weeds. Okay, the last couple years are just shooting up. Well, I am well aware as their father of when their clothes are getting too small or they're getting worn out or whatever it is. I, as a father, pay attention, maybe not as much as Margie, okay, but she, who does she tell? Who's the guy that's going to earn some money or be able to pay for it or whatever? So she is going to relay that to me, and I make sure that they have what they want. They are my sons, right? And we're a tight-knit family. We're pretty close, but I view them not just as my sons, but they are somebody that I deeply care about. I want to make sure that they're not only are their basic needs met, but I also want to meet some of their hopes and desires as well. So they feel free to be able to come to me and say, "Dad, I'd really like to get such and such." And I will do whatever I can to help them be able to get that. Within some reason, of course. I can't provide all those things or be able to do it right away or whatever. But I still, if they have hopes and desires, things that they want in their life, I'm still in that position as their father that I can say yay or nay. I can make that happen or it won't happen. Okay? Now, God loves to bless us with more than just our basic needs as well. Did you know that God wants to give you the desires of your heart? Sometimes we wait to go to God until it's an absolute need. We're begging God because, man, we got a bill to pay or we got this going on and we need it right then and there. Sometimes we can lay things out there, and we should, that are just a hope. It's, you know what, I'd really like to see this someday. You know, Margie has done that with me and in our future, if I don't think pastors get to retire, but someday when I retire, that we can go and, you know, whatever, travel in a mini Winnie, we call it, the mini Winnebago, and be able to travel to where the kids and grandkids are and be able to do ministry along the way and some of those kind of things. So that is something that she has let me know what her hope and desire is. So what do? I laid it out there to God. God, you see what this hope and dream is. You see what that it could entail, and we lay it out there because he does. I know that he loves to bless us with the desires of our heart as well. Mark 11, 22 through 24, some more of my favorite scriptures, says that Jesus answered them and said, "Have faith in God, for verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, Jesus, the Son of God, who says, you're a joint heir with me, that same brother says to you and says, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them." That's the way it works for him, he's saying. Listen, this is the way it works as an inheritor of God. Somebody that's inheriting what my father, your father wants to give us. This is how it works. Ask him. Let him know what the desire of your heart is so that he can go to work bringing it to pass. Okay, in other words, I think Jesus was saying, don't be afraid to come to God with the desire of your heart. Okay, just believe that he hears you, believe that he loves you, believe that he desires to give it to you, and that he is the one that is capable of bringing that into your life. Now, you remember that description that I talked about earlier that describes some of the benefits of good family relationships. Okay, close family relationships afford a person a better health and well-being, as well as lower rates of depression and disease throughout a lifetime. Now think about that in regard to the family dynamics within the body of Christ. Think about that in relation to your heavenly Father. Okay, the more that we see him for who he is, and the more that we understand our position as a son or a daughter, the better things are going to get for us. It means life is going to get even better. Okay, in the family of God, okay, some of you need to know this, maybe write this part down. In the family of God, you are not God. Does that make sense? You are not God. You are the son or the daughter in the family of God. So why do we take on the stresses and worries and cares of some of the things that are Father God's role to do instead of receiving the inheritance and living out the things and the blessing that God wants to be able to give us? The buck doesn't stop with you the way you sometimes think it does. Okay? Put that back on the Father. You are a son or a daughter. So you can let God be the Father. You can let God be God and you be one of His children. Does that make sense? It leads to better health. It leads to more joy and satisfaction. It leads to a greater sense of well-being, which means every area in your life will simply seem and feel and be better. It's a place where we feel safe and secure. It's a place where we feel like we can be ourselves and we can rest assured that we will be taken care of. You know, establishing our identity as the members, the sons and daughters in the family of God, it causes us to be more functional as a family of God, where we are fully capable of serving the purpose for which we were designed. Okay, remind yourself every day that you are a child of God. Okay, we sang a song a little bit ago. If the worship team wants to come up, we'll sing it again. But we sing this song that I am a child of God. And there's a real reason behind that, saying that over and over again, getting it in, because it puts that perspective right in front of you that God is Father. I'm a child of God. Okay? He is almighty, all-powerful. I am a child of that, and I get the inheritance. Okay? It puts that mindset back on us all the time. Yeah, you can shut them down, then. Amen. Let's sing this song as we